Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Puckin' Pod. My name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm actually Paul this time.
Wow, so you guys are actually yourselves. Are you sure?
Back to normal.
I mean, Brandon, I know you're in vacay mode. I'm a little in vacay mode. It's my first day of vacation. Here I am doing the podcast. But how are we feeling? I mean, we went golfing yesterday. Are you guys sore at all? Because, you know.
I actually am not sore today. I was a little bit after I got home.
Yeah.
The lower back stiffened up a little bit, but I woke up not bad. I was surprised.
That's good. I was a little bit sore, but I think it went away a little bit after today. So not too bad.
I was pretty sore afterwards.
Well, you haven't swung a club like that in a long time, right?
Yeah, I mean, quite a while.
I've been golfing quite a bit lately. So
it's my first time in a year that I'd been golfing, but I felt like, you know, I've been doing a little bit more physical stuff lately. Not too crazy, but just more physical stuff. So it my body's sort of adapting a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is nice. I felt good. It was a good game. I had fun. Did you guys have
a good time? I had a good time, yeah. I actually hit the ball well for a change. I can count on one hand the amount of, like, bad shot, like, really bad shots, which is where I'm like, 20, 25.
golf is such a mental game that, like, you make one small mistake and it's just like ruined your day, you know? But, you know, gentlemen, we're here to talk about sports other than us playing golf. The NHL, obviously the NHL season is done. We've got our Stanley Cup champions, the Florida Panthers, which we've already talked about. But, you know, last time we recorded, we were talking about the playoffs. The Abbotsford Canucks were in the finals for the Calder Cup. And I'm happy to say, and I'm happy to report, the Abbotsford Canucks are the Calder Cup champions in 2025. I'm very excited. It's something I personally have never known. Cheering for a team to win the championship in hockey is something I've never experienced in my life.
Yeah.
It's surreal. You know, it's what's really, really funny is, you know, my son, Charlie, who's 7, this is his first experience, obviously, cheering for a team to win the championship, too. And he was emotional. He was crying. He was so excited when they won the championship. And I thought to myself, like, why aren't I that excited? Because, you know, obviously, it's not the Canucks. I know, like, if the Vancouver Canucks were to win the Stanley Cup, I would probably be an emotional wreck. It's something I've wanted my whole life. I'm 43 years old, and I've never, ever witnessed them win a championship. And, it felt like I should feel that way, being that they are the Abbotsford Canucks, the AHL team. And these are players who I will see on Vancouver at some point. But it was so cool to see him have that emotion. And I'm so happy that he got to feel that, because it's something I wanted when I was a kid, right? So
lucky little kid.
I know, right? I was like, prepare yourself, 7 years old. You know,
yeah. How old is Charlie now?
He's 7.
He's 7, yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, he's 7. So it's exciting. I'm really, really happy for the players of the Abbotsford Canucks. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of the free agent stuff later, because some of those players are back again with them after, you know, re-signing with a team. And of course, some are no longer with the team too, which is sad, but also I'm happy for some of the players too. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But just really, really happy to get to see a team I cheer for win a championship. And it was not an easy one. You know, when you consider the amount of games they have to win, it's the same amount of games they have to win in the NHL, 16 wins, but it is 5 rounds instead of 4. So it's kind of a different kind of
divisional setup.
A
little bit different.
It's definitely it almost feels harder because you're playing multiple teams. Like, you're playing more teams in the end.
Yeah.
And so you've almost got to go an extra step to try and win that championship in the end. So
signed, Seeloft delivered.
Yeah, that's like, right.
He was pretty crucial for them in that series.
He was incredible. Absolutely incredible. Yeah. Going back to the whole free agency thing, it's definitely kind of makes you think as a fan, like, is this the last time we see him in a Canucks uniform? There's a good chance, especially with the moves that they made. Before we get into any of that move stuff, I think it's probably important we talk a little bit about the draft as well coming up, or the most recent draft that we just saw.
Yeah.
I'm personally actually really happy with what Vancouver did in the draft. It feels to me like they were making safe decisions, which is something that I think most fans of most teams would say that's not what they want to see. But, you know, for them to not give up anything and not draft poorly, like, they drafted good players, but there were better players that they could have drafted right now. The difference being, I think there's a longevity factor where you know, you might look at somebody like Braden Coutts, who they drafted in the first round. He's somebody I can see possibly being a captain of the team at some point, just from the fact that he's already a captain at such a young age in the WHL.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot to look forward to with the guys that they picked up. Do you have any like notable draftees that you can maybe talk about with this draft in particular? Maybe not specifically for everybody, but maybe for the Leafs as well.
Well, the Leafs didn't actually get to pick in the first round, so probably a lot of Toronto fans were not watching the draft on Friday night because that they might have been too, because they just enjoy the draft. But
also because that's where I was, yeah. You know, and also because it was a different format this year. Yeah. Like it was a different format that I know nobody liked.
It's a terrible format.
it didn't work half the time. The things they were even trying to do, such those awkward moments when they go in to like talk to their new team after, and the GM and whatever scouts are just looking into the camera, wondering like when somebody's going to talk. The guy's been talking for 5 minutes. Like he said, thank you 14 times. And he's like, oh, I guess I don't know why they drafted me. They don't even like me. It was
so funny.
Like, it just wasn't working. And then you could see the host, like you could almost hear it halfway through the draft and later the hostess, I should say, I can't remember her name, but the ones that was like taking the players to the back room there. And you could tell that there was times where she would just do the talking.
Yeah.
But he's like, you could tell that it wasn't working properly and that they were having technical problems. She probably had an ear in too. Yeah. Someone saying, yeah, just go with it because we have nothing.
We can't use
this.
Oh,
man, it was a debacle, if I'm being honest with you. Probably the worst draft I've ever seen, and it sucks.
Well, there are people who were leaving near the end of the first round.
Totally.
Because they were bored as hell.
Yeah, and it was long. It was 4 hours long. Yeah. Like, a first round should not be that long.
No.
I mean, there's so much you could have gotten done during that time. Even a live draft is a little long when you go back to, you know, I was there in 2019 when the draft was in Vancouver, and it was a long day, the first round. The second day was obviously longer because you're going through all the rest of the rounds, but I actually was more intrigued by the second day because I felt like there was more action, like the trades were more frequent and little things like that. But it really did feel like it was taking a long time to get through that draft.
Even the very first player drafted, I mean, the story of Matthew Schaefer is pretty incredible. Yes. And I mean, I teared up like crazy when he was getting, you know, the jersey on and the cancer sticker was on. I was like, oh my God.
Well, did you see that his mother's initials were also on the neck of the jersey as well?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then them telling the story about his billet mom as well and her tragedy. And it's like, as he started coming down the stairs after he was drafted and he was shaking hands and hugging every person, I'm like, tell me that someone's going to move this along and this is the only time they're going to let that happen. Nope. Every single player did it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's probably 30 minutes extra just in that alone that added to the length of the draft.
Yeah,
right? But
I think that's probably the best story of the draft, though, with Schaefer.
Oh, it just man. Feels like he just looked so grateful that he was drafted, period. Never mind first overall.
And he's
just a humble kid, right?
You know, he said in interviews recently, too, that it, you know, obviously this experience for him was incredible, but he feels like New York is home for him, like the Islanders are home for him, which is really cool. Like, you know, it's important for every team to have a player like that you can build around. And I think this is a guy that you can have that for. So
I mean, 2 years ago, the Islanders didn't even have a home. So
exactly. No, very true. Very true. So
kind of made some strides in that organization.
There were some interesting picks, I think, in this draft. What do you call them? Analysts, I guess, would have different sort of selections for each team after, say, the second pick. And it really kind of could have gone anywhere, you know, when it came down to it. So were there any surprises for you guys when it came to some of the picks in the first round?
James Higgins, I think, dropping down to Boston, I would have expected him to be picked a little bit sooner, maybe by the Mammoth. Like, they knew what they wanted, obviously, with Caleb Dinoy. But, surprised that Higgins fell down as far as he did. I thought for sure he was going to be in the top five.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk of him being like
before the season, he was touted number one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Was he... Yeah. Now, I can't remember without looking, if you guys know, was he one of the players that got sick? I thought they were talking about a player during the season got mono.
Oh.
And it kind of set them back a little bit.
Maybe. I don't remember
that,
to
be honest.
I can't
remember if it was him or not.
It could have been Denoye, actually.
Yeah. That actually, kid I'm has also, some swagger, by the way. That Denoye kid?
Yeah.
Man, oh man. I think he probably got drafted a little earlier than a lot of people thought, too. Well, obviously, the Mammoth saw something in him that they liked.
I firmly believe this is one of those drafts where you can list players in certain spots in terms of like how you rank them, but it's one of those drafts that anyone can go anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
It really felt like a guy who might have been ranked 10th gets picked 3rd. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, you don't. Like the teams this year didn't seem like they were drafting the best available player. They were drafting for
need. For need, yeah. More. I know and Vancouver, I think
it's
just
because after, say, the top 8 or so, it's kind of like picks 9 to 50 kind of are similar in maybe not skill set, but like, or sorry, not skill level, but skill set.
Set, yeah.
Right? And so.
Also ceiling and things like that too, right?
Absolutely. Like size,
when you, yeah, big factor. Yeah, when you look at somebody like Braden Coutts, who Vancouver picked up, you know, at 15th, he, you know, there was a guy named Victor Eklund who was basically picked right after him, who they could have easily drafted above him, but he's a center. Braden Coutts is a center. And his it's not that his ceiling is higher than Eklund's, but his basement is higher. Like, yeah. Where he's at is already kind of above, sure. Where, you know what I mean? And so that's the thing that they're looking at in terms of how long it's going to take him to get into the NHL. They believe that he could be there sooner than say, somebody like Eklund, based on body size and the physical play and things like that, because he's a really good two-way player, really, ultimately.
The other thing I thought was kind of funny was some of the teams having the dual picks. So you had Dubas doing what he usually does and moves down on the draft.
Always.
Yeah.
It's a clockwork.
It's a clockwork thing. Trading number 12 for the 22nd and 31st pick. Making the base of the Flyers have the 12th and, was it the 12th and 13th pick, I believe it was?
Not the 13th. Nope. The 12th and the...
Flyers had the 6th pick and the 12th pick.
Yeah, they picked up Porter Marteau at number 6.
Oh. Oh, maybe I'm getting mixed up here. Anyways, yeah, the Penguins had back-to-back picks, 11 and 12. Islanders had back-to-back picks.
That's right.
16 and 17.
Yeah, because the Islanders traded. That's what they got for Noah Dobson.
Noah Dobson that day,
trading to Montreal.
Yeah.
So we haven't talked yet about trades, but that's definitely one of them.
There. That Sorry was a for big the spoiler.
One. Yeah.
Yeah, just bringing it up because it is the draft and we're talking about picks. And so the dual picks, some of the picks that the dual situations had, I wasn't necessarily keen on, but...
Are you saying that as a Leafs fan or just in general as a hockey fan?
Just in general. I was quite surprised for the type of players that these teams needed. It was surprising. Like the Islanders picks, Eklund wasn't so surprised at 16, but Keyshawn Aitchison I was. I thought he would go a little further down the draft. I thought they picked that type of defenseman too early.
He's from what I understand, he's a very exciting person to watch in terms of the way he brings energy, and obviously he's a big body. He loves to throw the hits too. But I have a feeling he's going to get a lot of penalties in the NHL.
Yeah, he's got to be careful. Introduce fighting into the NHL as well. I don't know how good of a fighter he is. You don't get to practice in junior.
Yeah.
Not really.
That's a good point.
But they were saying, you know, he's one of the toughest kids in the draft.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe that's something they're looking for. Maybe that's something Patrick Roy requested. Who knows? Who knows the reasoning? But I was the same with you, Paul. I'm kind of like, oh. I didn't do a lot of my own scouting before the draft. I just kind of went with the flow a little bit.
Of course.
Just because of that point I made a few minutes ago about there being such a like a broad amount of players that are sort of in the same area for skill sets. So I was kind of like, well, there isn't really that many standouts, at least I didn't think.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought he might go a little bit further too. But I mean, there you go. Maybe the Islanders are drafting for position and size and strength and that grit that maybe he's going to bring. And I mean, he seemed like a pretty humble kid too, considering.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
tough to tell with the draft, right? Because like it's always funny because we compare it to say the NBA draft that we just watched recently, where the guy that Toronto picked up, he looked like he was mad for being picked up by Toronto.
He circled back on that one. I don't know if that was a PR manager heading over to his table and being like, "Hey man, we gotta have a chat," or if that's legitimately what his reaction
literally
was.
See him say the F word.
Yeah, he shook his head.
Yeah,
he stood up, shook his head, did up his suit, and was like. Dropped the F-bomb, and then gave his mom a hug, I assume. Like, he did not look impressed.
Yeah, he doubled back on it after. He's like, well, I was just, you know, it was the moment I had something to say. Like,
and, I mean, he said that, you know, the Toronto was the first team that talked to him at the Combine or whatever it was. And, you know, he liked the direction of the organization and that sort of thing. And
I'm not sure why he would say that, though. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
He said it was just surreal. Like... just, F as in maybe, I can't believe it, but I don't know. Yeah, it didn't look like it.
I know. Like, I mean, I have said when something like that has happened, I mean, obviously I've never been drafted by any professional teams, but but when something good has happened to me, have you ever kind of been like not like say, not say F bombs, but like, you know, like, oh man. Like, you know, yeah, that kind of, but like, kind of like, I can't believe this.
The,
you know,
body language difference. I know what you're
totally
saying.
Totally, yeah.
Like, I would be like, instead of just using that word, I might have been like, holy.
Yeah.
Or just like, or be more wow expressive. Instead, yeah, he was just like,
totally.
Dang.
Like, it was very much like, you
yeah,
know,
like, I can't believe I have to go to Canada.
So here's the thing.
It's cold.
I can say, like, I've seen in the past where, say, like, I'll use Vancouver as an example. I've seen the Canucks draft a player or two in the past where I felt like, oh, that guy doesn't seem like he's too excited about Vancouver. And I think really what it comes down to when I think of the NHL draft, not comparing it to this guy in the NBA, but it feels like sometimes it's just the personality that they have where they just don't have that energy to sort of be like excited. They're just sort of like almost calming themselves down on the inside, and it just seems like they're not excited. I think of
Jared McCann.
Jared McCann, thank you. I was going to say he was traded to Toronto and then the Seattle took him.
Yeah,
Jared McCann was drafted by Vancouver. And I remember when he was interviewed when he got drafted by Vancouver, it really felt to me like he didn't want to be there. Like he didn't want to be with Vancouver because in the interview when they were like talking to him and stuff, it just felt like he was like not impressed or whatever. And I remember getting that feeling. And it's just that, you know, sometimes when you watch a draft, you get that feeling. And I know I've seen that a few times in this draft in particular where it felt like players were not all that excited. But I think really what it comes down to more than anything is just that's their personality. Like their personality is very much like low energy or low, like not to get too high or not to get too low. And I know that's actually become a common thing in the NHL. Like Quinn Hughes talks about that a lot. You know, the biggest key to success in the NHL is not get too high and not get too low. So like when you win a series, for example, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, don't get too high so that you're super cocky going into the next series and find out that they're a better team or that you know, mentally gave up, you know, the game or whatever. And I think that's the thing that maybe that relates to those players. And maybe that's the reason why we don't see their real personalities, you know. It's tough to say, like you can never really tell just by seeing a guy for the first time.
Different type of sports too. When you're looking at the NBA and the NHL, like NHL, it's no dock to the NBA, but I do consider it a little bit more of a classier league. Not that the NBA is not a classy league. It is a very classy league, but there is just an aura about the NHL that is all professionalism. While you know, you look at the NBA, it has a little more flash. So some of the professionalism isn't necessarily as apparent. Yeah, exactly.
Although to be devil's advocate, that's I think you changed. Know where I'm going. Yeah. The new CBA announced, you know, something as simple as a dress code.
Yeah,
they're getting rid of it, which I completely disagree.
Yeah, yeah, I don't like that either.
You know, well, because it's going to become a clown show in the NHL
yeah, exactly.
too. I mean, it already sort of is.
You're going to see a lot of players probably decide to wear, you know, designer clothes, but like designer clothes that are like sweaters and
yeah,
stuff
I was
like
gonna
that.
Say sweats and a hoodie, yeah. Likely.
Like, I mean, I'm David not sure Pasternak, you will. We'll see though. Patrick Laine, Austin Matthews, these guys already spend more time with the tailor than they do with the practice rink.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like
Pedersen's like that.
They're still suits, right, for the most part. And then now, who knows?
Yeah. Like I think we'll see a lot more hats and things like that.
Oh goodness, I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen it yet, and I hate it.
You know, and this is the thing. Like, I am okay with it because honestly, if the only way I don't like it is if it affects the way the player plays. Like if like you say, he's spending too much time on designer clothes and less time practicing or getting his game better, then yeah, that's an issue. And that'll probably change with the next CBA, you know, if that is the case. But I'm of the mindset of like, let them do what they want if it makes them elevate their game, if it helps them elevate their game. But yeah, like, you know, we can't sit here and still live like Don Cherry's still doing his thing, you know, like it's a new NHL and, you know, we have to kind of go with it and we don't have any control over it anyway. We as the fans have no control over it anyway.
The thing that I question about that particular point is that, we've seen this in Toronto, is that they've tried different things. So is it written in the CBA now that they have to have a dress code? And if that's the case, is it individual teams that set that dress code? The reason I ask is that two seasons ago, the Leafs tried to omit the dress code for a period of time. It didn't last very long. and they started showing up. Nylander started showing up in sweats and a t-shirt.
That might and have been
it,
a...
And then it was like, you know what? Nope, we're not doing this anymore. You guys have to dress in suits again. And then...
Yeah, that might have been just a Toronto thing, like maybe, because I believe the CBA had it that they had to wear suits. And then my guess is that they went to the CBA and said, hey, we want to try this. Can we try it? And maybe they were the guinea pig for the CBA at that point.
Could have been. Yeah, that would make sense.
And it would make sense that it would be Toronto considering, right? Like, they're one of the bigger markets in the league and stuff. So they want to play with it and see how it works. And maybe that's what they did. Yeah. And they discovered that it was fine.
Well, coming back to Toronto, getting to their picks, like I said, they didn't have one in the first round. They did pick some guy, a couple of guys I'd never heard of, actually, in the draft. But their first pick was in the second round. They had acquired the Florida pick last year. They had traded down, got a first and a second. I think they didn't get the guy that they wanted initially. They got Danford, but I think they actually wanted Emery first and then Danford afterwards. And obviously, the Rangers picked up Emery before the Leafs pick, so the Leafs did pick up Danford. Traded that second for this year, and unfortunately, it fell down to the very bottom of the second draft, and they got... It's either Tynus or Tinus Luke Koblar, who I had never heard of until.
He's a centerman.
He's a big centerman.
6'3", 187.
Playmaker, very responsible defensively. The biggest downside to him, which is going to be a problem, is apparently his skating.
Yeah.
What I will say, and what we can say, is that the Leafs have hundreds of millions of dollars that they can spend on development. And they have some of the best development coaches around, including one of the top skating development coaches that they probably just give a dump load of money to, dump truck load full of money to.
Smokes. Is that Barb Underhill? She's still with
Barb Underhill, as far as I know. Yeah, she's very well renowned throughout the league. And I mean, maybe that'll help. I guess that's the thing about playing in Toronto is that they do have unlimited resources. Not saying other teams don't, but they probably aren't necessarily as willing to spend as much as Toronto is, because they print money, right?
Well, going back,
there's no surprise about that.
Going back a little bit, a guy like David Steckel, when Barb Underhill was on the team, was actually able to improve his foot speed under her tutelage.
David Steckel.
Yeah, a while ago. I know.
That's memory lane. During a time where you did not want to be a Leafs fan, just for the record.
Their other picks were third round, Ty Hopkins, also a center, 6'1". William Bell, a center as well. He is 6'3". Harry Nancy, another center, 6'3".
Harry Nancy.
When I saw that, I was like, oh, Harry Nancy. That's an interesting
name. Nancy.
But apparently he's quite not coveted, but a lot of teams were in on him. But, the way they work with these draft picks is they are sports. They're specifically suited for certain rounds, right? Like Harry Nancy, for example, he was picked up, the fifth round? Fifth round. This is the type of player you pick in the fifth round, and apparently, but apparently a lot of teams were in on him, from what I heard. So
a couple of these guys were from Ontario too, which obviously really bodes well for except being part of your home province.
I like that. Like that idea.
Ryan Fellinger was a sixth round pick, defenseman, 6'4", and then Matthew, is it Hlokar or Hlokar? 6'3", known for his fighting, so very much could be a Matt Remp or Ryan Reeves in the future. Who knows?
Funny story about that, Paul. I don't know if you knew this or not. You know where I'm going with this, too? Of course you do, as a Leafs fan. He had a fight at their development camp this morning with another player. They got in a skirmish, and that, the coaches let him go for a minute or two, and then, broke it up. And then I guess, let me get this right, Dr. Wickenheiser, after they talked to her about it, and she's like, obviously we don't like seeing that, but I mean, it's competitive camp, and we probably won't happen again. We let the guys know that, hey, go ahead, get it out now, and then that's it.
The Leafs definitely went for beef and size, obviously, in this draft, and something they probably needed. They've been doing the whole small skilled winger thing for quite a few years, especially under Dubas, and again, some hits, but a lot of misses, unfortunately, when it came to that. And it's, skills one thing, but you do need the frame, I think, for hockey too, and that is something they definitely addressed. We'll see if it works out for them, obviously, in the end.
Yeah, the cool thing with the NHL draft is it's kind of like it's a wait and see thing, right? Like we won't know if some of these players are going to hit or miss for 3-4 years, right?
Yeah.
And then in some cases you get a seventh rounder who all of a sudden just hits 2 years down the road, and you're just like, yes,
yes,
you know,
Pavel Datsyuk.
Yeah, like that. It happens, man. It's exciting stuff. I feel like those are promising, especially considering their size. Well, and you want to get bigger down the road.
I like that. Obviously, they had Wendell Clark. No, Wendell Clark. Sorry.
Wes Clark.
Wes Clark. Thank you. Starts with a W. Yeah.
So many Clarks.
Wes Clark leave, obviously, for the Penguins to go with his buddy Dubas back in Pittsburgh there. I like who they hired. Mark Leach. He was the scouting director for the Dallas Stars. And if you look at the Dallas Stars, a lot of their team is built on their draft picks. So
he said right before the draft, he's like, I like big guys.
Yeah,
and good. Proof's in the pudding.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you, Joe, if there was any other notables from Canucks, not based on where they were drafted, but because of their particular skill set that got you a little excited.
Oh, 100%. I mean, all of them, but yeah, particularly I would say in the second round with the goaltender that they picked up, Alexei Medvedev, 6'3", 181 pounds. He was one of the most coveted goalies in the draft. The thing about goalies is they don't typically go in the first round. They do go in the second round, but not often. A lot of players will go by position, right?
Unless you're like Columbus, you go way off the board and pick
in the first round that you'd never heard of. 14th overall or something like that. But this goalie is somebody that apparently was picked by Ian Clark, who is the former goaltending coach for Vancouver. He's actually their like head scout now for goaltenders in the Canucks system. Just because of his age, he can't really go on the ice and do all those little, you know, practice maneuvers and stuff. So now he's basically scouting out goalies for us, which is what he was doing before anyway. And he apparently this guy, Alexei Medvedev, was a coveted goalie that they were telling him to go for. So goaltending, I mean, really having a guy like Ian Clark in your system has really helped Vancouver a lot when it comes to picking out some good goaltenders.
Well, they've developed goaltenders so well over
and,
the years.
You know, and it's wonderful to see as a fan. This is somebody I think that we're going to keep our eye on a lot of. And like I say, it's not somebody typically, you don't see a goalie for Vancouver picked in the second round. I mean, the last guy they picked in the second round, I believe, was Thatcher Demko.
It was yet.
So, you know, when you look at that and, you know, something to look forward to for that
particular draft ticked me off because the Flames had the pick before the Canucks did. And I really wanted the Flames to pick Demko, and they picked Mason McDonald. And like, that's going to be a bad pick.
Who?
Mason McDonald.
I'm just kidding. in the third. So the Vancouver Canucks had picked in the top of the third round, because it was actually Ottawa's pick that they acquired from New York Rangers in exchange for Carson Soucy when they traded Carson Soucy nice. back in the I believe it was the trade deadline at the end of last year. Anyway, they got the third rounder. It was the very first pick of the third round, right after the Leafs pick in the second round. They picked Kieran Durvin, who's a 6'1" centerman. So they stuck with centermen during this draft. There was only one right winger that they drafted, other than the goaltender, of course. But Kieran Durvin, 6'1" center, for that third round pick. He's 183 pounds, basically another big body, a guy who can basically get in there and get the puck. You know, when it comes to like battling in corners and stuff like that, it's something he's well known for. So none of these guys that they picked up are very flashy, which I'm okay with. For me, it's like, if you can get those guys who can be pests, who can be like, you know, they can be kind of the heart and soul of the team, like that's really what you want, you know, when it comes down to it. And that's what I mean by safe picks. Like, they didn't go out there and get somebody who's overly flashy, but somebody who's going to be a big body and actually dig for the puck. I think that's something I'd love to have. So,
well, let me ask you a question. How many flashy players play for the Florida Panthers?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we'll get into it a little bit here with the signs and trades and stuff, but I mean, a lot of them that did play...
Not flashy.
I mean, flashy, no. That's
not
true.
Not really. Not
you're
overly.
Absolutely, that's actually a good point, yeah. When
they,
it comes
they
down
all
to
work
it,
hard.
Even
they play
you look
hard.
At, even, you know, you look at somebody like Marchand, who... He's not a flashy guy, but he's a presence on the
productive.
Ice.
He's productive.
Yeah.
I would say the flashiest guy on that team, honestly, if I were to pick one, would be Matthew Tkachuk, probably.
Yeah.
And we know how hard he plays.
But... Yeah, no, you're right. I think I was going to say Aaron Ekblad maybe too, like has a little flash to him. But
I'd say even Seth Jones probably.
Yeah, yeah. But you're right. Like most of those guys are like very, very like team friendly players. They're two way. They dig in for the puck a lot, and that's kind of what they're well known for. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with having players like that. And I think of their fifth round pick that they picked up was actually the winger that they picked up, which is Wilson Bjork from Sweden, 6 foot, 165 pounds, so smaller guy. But ultimately, same thing. Very well known for being two-way. He's what I would consider a playmaker in terms of his skill set. And I think that's something that you can always use on your team. So to go along with all those other two-way players, I think. In the sixth round, they picked up Gabe Sherratt, who he's 5'11", 190 pounds. Big body when you consider 5'11". Very well known for throwing his body around. So that's
5'11" and throwing the body. I love it.
So it's like playing bigger than you are, right? Like playing more physical than you are.
I think Mike Brown back in the day. Do you remember Mike Brown?
Yeah, I remember Mike Brown.
The thing that concerns me about players like that is injury more than anything.
Their durability.
Yeah. Not very good. You're not going to see them on your team for 15, 16 years. You might see them on for 10 years and they'll go play somewhere else. Because you're just kind of like, I don't know if I can keep you for another year. And then in the seventh round, they picked up Matthew Lansing, who is another centerman, 6'1", 181. Another, workhorse, what you would call a workhorse. So I'm very happy with the draft as a Canuck fan. I think ultimately, they didn't make any trades during the draft, I don't think. I think before the draft, they made a trade for... obviously Evander Kane. They traded for Evander Kane, 2 days before the draft or something like that? But I think ultimately they didn't do a lot. They ended up giving their fourth round pick in this year for
fourth
that.
Round pick, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the kind of thing you're going to have to do when it comes down to getting a player like Kane who, he doesn't have a lot of respect in the league. So, from what I understand, there was a lot of teams that were interested in him, 5 or 6 teams that wanted him. But he wanted to go to Vancouver, of course, being from Vancouver. Yep. So it's exciting to actually have players that want to go to your team. There's a lot of talk, obviously, with Vancouver that because of the year that they just had, that a lot of players didn't want to stick around. And I think, as we'll get into when it comes to free agency, that was not the case. Which I like. I like to hear that the players want to stay or want to come to the team, so that's exciting. But before we get into free agency, I think let's move on to some of the trades that we saw. There was a few different trades that we saw over this the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we had ones that were leading up to the draft, during the draft, and obviously now going into free agency. I know we talked about a few of them last time we were talking about the Stanley Cup and stuff like that. Mason Marchment and stuff like that had been traded. Some of the bigger trades that you saw were after the Chris Kreider trade was done for Anaheim. Anaheim traded away Trevor Zegras to Philadelphia for Ryan Poehling for a second-round pick in 2025 and a fourth round in 2026.
Ryan Poehling's been on more teams than Corey Perry.
Yeah, he's getting there.
Which is hard to say.
That's hard to – yeah. It's
crazy to think about that, but we'll get into that again with free agent frenzy as well.
Oilers needed to clear some cap space for one of the players that they signed, so they traded away Evander Kane to the Canucks for a fourth round pick in 2025.
Yeah, and he's making $5.1 million.
Something like that.
Anyway, yeah,
4.6 or something like that.
Yeah, in that range.
Long discussed trade for JJ Paterka finally got traded to the Mammoth for Josh Doan, Shane Doan's son, and Michael Kesselring, who was an Edmonton Oiler defenseman, but they didn't qualify him, and he signed with the Mammoth, or it was Arizona before it was the Mammoth.
Not to, like, he hasn't won any Stanley Cups or anything, but that so reminds me of Forsling in Florida with Vancouver. Same thing. They drafted him, just didn't keep him. He goes on waivers, I think, 3 times or something, and then finally goes with Florida and wins 2 cups with them. So
and has been one of the best players for them.
Absolutely.
The trades in the NHL I find are trending towards other sports where the players have so much control. Like JJ Paterka, just because he doesn't want to play in Buffalo, he basically demanded a trade. Yeah. You're 23 years old. You've done nothing in this league yet.
And maybe this is a whole other podcast because, like, we could get into that whole Buffalo thing. But what the hell is wrong with Buffalo?
14 years,
in the playoffs. I mean, not only that, but nobody wants to stay there.
It's because they can't make the playoffs.
it just baffles me, though.
There must be something in the organization within. thin. Like, again, I have no idea. It's speculation. Maybe there's just something that rubs them the wrong way.
Yeah.
Maybe they've been in organizations or heard of organizations that just, you know, they fly you out just to meet with you, yeah, and they give, yeah, you, you know, a wine and cheese plate when you arrive, and Buffalo's just like, yeah, hey, here's a coupon for, you know, A&W down the street or something. Yeah, yeah, who knows? Yeah. Like, I could be full of crap, right? Yeah. But it's just, it seems like there's something it really weird feels that, way. That it's, yeah, just like nobody wants to stay there, right?
It's crazy. Yeah.
Kraken acquired Frederick Goudreau from the Minnesota Wild. The big one that got the Islanders two back-to-back picks was trading Noah Dobson to the Canadiens, which is, with Hudson and Dobson, that team's going to be a little bit scary.
And who was the player that they sent back as well as the picks?
Emil Heinemann.
Right, Heinemann, that's right. Okay.
Which, he was a Florida pick that got traded to Calgary initially for in the Sam Bennett deal.
Right, and so they trade. It was the player that they traded to Montreal, correct? Like, they drafted the player and then traded him? Or did they use a pick to draft Heinemann?
Emil Heinemann was originally drafted by the Florida Panthers, was traded, was traded to Calgary with a second round pick for Sam Bennett.
The reason I asked that is because I feel like I remember seeing the name when that trade happened, yeah, between Calgary and Montreal, so that makes sense.
And the reason why Heinemann made it to Montreal is he was included in the Sean Monahan deal to go to, right, to go to the Canadiens, which, crazy, again, also did not work out for
them. Where do you store all this stuff in your brain, man?
I told you. Very true. It's all about statistics.
It's like the Pierre Maguire of our podcast. What high school did he go to, Paul?
all you have to start doing now is comparing players to other players.
Charlie Coyle and Miles Wood got traded from the Colorado Avalanche to the Columbus Blue Jackets for a couple of picks and Gavin Brindley.
There's word there or rumor that McKinnon did not get along with Coyle, and McKinnon gets his way in Colorado.
Well, he should. Yeah. He should. It baffles me he's not the captain. I mean, I understand Landeskog's the captain, and there's a presence there, but, like, for me, it's McKinnon's team,
yeah,
right? And that makes sense to me, for sure.
Throughout the draft, there was a lot of first round picks being traded around. Actually,
I'm seeing picks though that are being traded in like 2028.
Yeah, I think they've got 4 years that they can trade up. Yeah, to. Yeah. I think it's four.
It's
years.
Crazy, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is crazy. Yeah,
yeah. There was four first round swaps this year that were done.
Wow.
And then, yeah, like I said, 2020 were some of the picks. Second round had a few of those too. Montreal and Carolina swap picks. Philadelphia, yep, and the Kraken did swap picks in the second and third round.
It's common to see a lot of later round picks get traded.
Yeah.
Just like one pick for two picks later, yep, on or something like that. Very, very, you know, you do see that pretty much every year. But this year it felt like there was a lot more trades at the draft than normal based on what we saw.
Not significant ones, but like just, yeah, little tidbit ones, yeah, like you said, yeah, yeah, to get an extra pick here.
Get all excited. We have a trade to announce. And it's like pick for pick. Oh.
I think the LA Kings sold low on Jordan Spence. He got traded to the Ottawa Senators for a third and a sixth. I thought, yeah, he was worth more than that.
Agreed.
So,
yeah,
agreed. I was quite surprised by that deal. John Gibson, who's been in trade rumors for like 10 years now, finally, yeah, got traded to the Anaheim Ducks for Peter Mrazek, a second in 2027, a fourth in 2026. But, yeah, that's been talked about for, yeah, ages.
Peter Mrazek's resume for teams is going up, too.
Yeah, now, I saw the Leafs had picked up a player by the name of Matias Maccelli.
Yes.
From the Utah Mammoth for a conditional third in 2027. So, again, these are those later picks that you're seeing. But do you know much about Maccelli? Like, what are they getting?
He's an underrated playmaker. Size is probably comparable to Max Domi, maybe a little bit taller, but he's an underrated playmaker. He had something, I think it was like 60 points 2 years ago.
I think he had a 48-point year, his first or second year with Arizona, Utah. Mm-hmm. Then he had like a 57-point year, and then last year I think he dropped down to below 40. He had a down year. But the skill set apparently is completely a playmaker. They're hoping that he'll replace some of Mitch Marner's playmaking.
Yeah,
which makes sense.
I have no idea how he is on the defensive side of the puck, but it sounds like, I mean, you're not going to be able to replace a 100-point player. But maybe
unless you can get those assists to those other players who can, right?
Yeah,
he might elevate the game of some other players, which is something that you don't see a lot of when you've got a player like Marner, who I feel like you can consider almost, not to say he's this type of player, but more selfish than, say, somebody like this guy would be, right? Mm-hmm. This guy's going to pass the puck all day long.
Yeah.
And he's going to pass the puck to players like Matthews, who is going to score those goals from dirty areas, right? Yeah. Or even Nylander. Like, think of those players, right? I think this is going to be good for the Leafs.
I'm excited to see him. I didn't know anything about him. When I saw the trade, my first thought was, okay, let's look this guy up, right? And yeah, it was like 39 points last year or something. I'm like, what? Like, why? And the reports right away were like, oh, this is a great pickup for the Leafs, and he's going to be good in their top six. And I'm like,
and at least he only cost you third round.
You know? And then I did a little bit more of a deep dive, and it's like, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. He just kind of had a down year, and lots of things going on with that franchise the last couple of seasons. Who 100%. Knows, right?
Yeah.
So,
you know, another question that's being asked right now is, especially by friends like ours, like Mike, who's an Oilers fan, is what the hell are the Oilers doing right now? And what are they going to do next year? Because right now, they are not as physical at all that they were going into the playoffs. And the question you have to ask now, because they lost like six players, and most of those players are their grit, right? I was having a conversation with Mike on Twitter, actually, about it, where he was asking the question like, okay, you've lost these six players. What are you getting back? Literally nothing? Okay, we have some questions to ask. Like, these Oilers fans are concerned that, you know, you made it to the finals 2 years in a row and you're not doing anything to try and get back there again.
Yeah, but they're in the same position as quite a few teams in that for the last two or three years, they've gone all in. They don't have the draft picks.
They don't have the cap space.
They don't have anything. They've just had to re-sign Pylon Bouchard
for
like $18 million a year or something stupid.
Ten and a half over four years.
That's pretty much $18 million for what he brings.
That's $40 million. That's
craziness. How much their defensemen make
You know what, actually, and that's, again, this could be a whole other podcast where it begs the question, like, you look at what the signings, and again, this is coming up next here when we talk about the free agency, but what the Florida players have done to get back to that team.
Do we have to talk about that?
No, but hear me out. Compare the two, right? Compare the two. You don't have Edmonton players going, okay, I'll take a discount to stay here just so we can get back to the finals again.
Yep.
To me, that's concerning.
It absolutely is concerning.
This is the problem with, and again, maybe this is that whole argument about the whole no tax state thing, but like, this is the problem I'm finding with these teams that are making it to the finals and they're like, okay, we're done. Like, let's go to some other team now and give it a shot. Like, why not go back for a discount? You know, if I'm Corey Perry, for crying out loud, why wouldn't you go back to the Oilers and be like, look, I'll go for $1 million. Let's go. Let's try to get back there, you know? To me, it doesn't make any sense.
They have better booze in Los Angeles.
I guess so. Again, we'll talk about that in a minute. But that was my big question, really, when it came to all the trades and stuff, because I saw that they traded Victor Arvidsson to the Oilers for a fifth-round pick in 2027.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, okay, so there's one of your kind of playmaking wingers. This is a guy that they were really excited about getting when they got him, and now he's gone. So what's going to happen now?
Well, and they lost, Broberg and Holloway because of the signings they made last year with Skinner and Arvidsson.
Yep.
So, not so smart management.
To me, it's cap management, right? Yeah. Like, it's just poor cap management.
And they still don't have a goaltender.
Yeah.
And they still don't have a goaltender. Sorry, Steve. And here's the thing. They had cap space with that trade with Vancouver. Like, they had $5 million to work with. I know they had to sign Bouchard, but you had a little space to work with. You could assign any of those free agent goalies who probably were better than Skinner in a lot of ways.
Not or probably. At least, we know that they're
at least, or at least a 1B scenario. You know what I mean? Like really do something.
A couple of trades I'll go over. Nicholas Hag was traded from the Knights. That was a precursor, obviously, to a major trade they made. So that was for Jeremy Lauzon and Colton Sissons.
Before you get into the major trades, though, I want to emphasize something about them, and that, of course, is they weren't just trades. They were sign-in trades.
Yes, of course.
And there was two of them so far, anyways, that we've seen. But let's get into that one first.
Yeah, so there's Nicholas Hague and a third-round pick for Jeremy Lauzon and Colton Sissons. And Hague got immediately signed by the Predators, I believe 5.5 over 5 years per year. Vladimir Tarasenko was traded to the Wild from the Red Wings. The trade I was talking about was the precursor was Mitch Marner's rights after he signed for $12 million a year for 8 years to the Golden Knights for Nicholas Waugh.
Or Nicholas Roy.
I think it's Waugh, too.
Actually, I think it's Roy, to be honest. I feel like I've heard them say Roy, Where's he from? Let's look that
he's
up.
He's definitely French.
Let's take. Oh, he's from Quebec. It's Wah.
I heard him in an interview.
He's from Amos, Quebec.
What's he going to bring? I don't know much about this player. Have you seen him in the West much?
Not scoring. He's a defensive center for sure.
Like, 6'4". He's 28 years old.
He bangs a bit, I heard.
Yep, quite a bit. 201 pounds.
Yep.
He's not the heaviest, but it's still 201 pounds. He does throw his weight around. He scores goals.
He's no more for
I think he's more of a playmaker, but still, ultimately, yeah, like you say, like a two-way kind of defensive.
Yeah, he'll be your third-line center, yeah, for sure.
That or Lawton, he'll be your fourth-line center, whichever works.
Yeah, Treliving came out yesterday and sees it right now as Waugh on the third-line, Lawton on the fourth-line.
Camp not even
blows
considered.
My mind, well, also how much they gave up for Lawton.
To be fair, Treliving doesn't make the lines.
He does not.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But, yeah. Now, we did have another sign-and-trade that happened literally, I think, yesterday, right? Was it yesterday or the day before? Yes. So, July 1 was 2 days ago. Yeah. It's officially July 3rd, in case you're wondering when we're recording this. And, yeah, it was...
Was it Keandre Miller?
Yeah, Keandre Miller from the Rangers to Carolina.
For Scott Morrow.
For Scott Morrow, conditional first-round pick and a second-round pick in 2026. So... Yeah, I feel like that's a lot to give up for Keandre Miller.
Another player that wanted to just leave New York, though.
Yep.
And they obliged him.
I think here's the thing. The thing I can say about this specific, him wanting to leave New York in this specific scenario, was actually because he wasn't, he didn't like the minutes he was going to get. Like, the way I understand it is that he wants top-line minutes, and he wasn't going to get them in New York. Carolina, he's going to get top-line minutes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, we'll visit it, but Brent Burns vacating and...
Yeah, holy cow.
Yeah.
That was another thing that kind of blew me away. I was surprised to see that. But Burns, of course, was playing third pair minutes, right, in Carolina.
Oh, he's 40 years old, so it's understandable. Yeah. You know,
I'm not expecting a lot slowing from him, down for sure. Yeah.
Was it a 1 or 2 year deal he did sign?
I think two.
Two?
I think so.
That's crazy.
Well, let's get into free agency. I mean, we've got that's a lot of trades happening, but you know, there's some crazy ones, but we also have some crazy free agent signings that we had to wait a couple of days for. Like probably the biggest one happened today, I would think, the one that we were waiting for after all the other dominoes fell. But let's get into
LeBron
some.
LeBron James going to South Beach of this year's
took his
free
talents.
Agency class is Nick Ehlers.
Yeah, took his talents to the.
Gonna take my talents to
St. Louis,
Raleigh.
Where did he go, Raleigh?
Carolina.
He's in Raleigh, right? Carolina. So Carolina might be a team to look out for.
They always are.
I mean,
they really always are.
I don't know. You know, it's tough to say like that they're going to be this big dangerous team. Like yeah. I know they've got some pieces, but I'm not sure that they have all the pieces to like compete for the cup. I would not call them a contender at the moment. That being said, they are on paper better than they were last year. Just based on what they have, I think.
Considering what they gave up for to get Rantanen last year, this is at least makes up for some of the skill capital that they lost in having to trade Rantanen away. Ehlers is not necessarily right on par with Rantanen, but he's a good player.
So 6 years, $8.5 million per year AAV, signed to Carolina. 6 years is a long time to go in for a guy like that. I mean, he's 29. He'll be 35 when he's done. It's not too bad, actually. Not too bad.
Lots of injury problems with him.
That's true.
Slight inconsistency issue.
I feel like it's a lot to pay for a winger during this time, but I mean, your needs are what your needs are, and you
supply and demand right now, Joe. It was a weak.
Yeah, it's going to be much better next year.
Yeah, it was an allegedly weak free agency class this year compared to what it has been in the past.
To be fair, we did see a lot of players go back to the teams that they were coming from too.
Yeah, like, and I mean, I wouldn't necessarily class Mitch Marner as even getting to free agency, so he wasn't really the big fish either necessarily.
Agreed. Yep, agreed. Yeah.
Which in itself is a weird story.
So I, before we get into anything, I'll just talk a little bit about the Canucks signings, just because I just got to get that out of the way. And I mean, honestly, for me, I'm extremely ecstatic for the fact that we brought these players back that we brought back, because the way that the Canuck fans are kind of reacting is that this is it's like the important pieces, what you would consider core pieces, are staying with the team. So I look at, for example, Thatcher Demko signing a 3-year deal, eight point five is a little steep, obviously, but yeah. But when you consider
what you have for Lankinen,
I was going to say, when you consider you have Lankinen and where they're with him, it's one of the best goalie tandems in the league. I'm not going to complain. I said one of the best. Like, I didn't say the best.
$14 million for your two goalies a year.
I'm okay with it, to be honest. If it gets us to where we need to go, that's a good goalie tandem to pay. Yeah, fair enough. They had dealt with a lot of injury problems last year.
But I was just about to say, you're right. It's not going to matter with Demko's contract because he's going to be on LTIR 2 weeks into the year.
that's
not a slight. I'm just saying it's kind of fact.
I haven't said this on the pod yet, and I've been waiting to say it. But the big misconception I'm finding a lot with analysts, in particular when it comes to Demko, is that he's injury prone, but he's not. The guy's literally been injured once, and that was when it happened in the 2024 playoffs with a unique injury that no one's ever had, and he's recovered from it and then got injured again from the same injury. So the way I see it, I don't consider him as injury prone as everybody else does. He's claiming to be 100% right now. We'll see what happens when he comes back this year. As long as the workload is evened out, I think there's no problem there. That's the way I see it.
And from an outsider's perspective, the way I see just a couple of points that I'll make is that you're now paying him as a number one goalie. And if I look at his hockey DB, which I did a few weeks ago, I'm pretty sure he hasn't played more than like 47 games in a year.
That can't be true.
I'm almost 100% positive it's right around that number. He's never played more than like between 45 and 50 games.
That doesn't make any sense. There was a year he did like 60 games. Hang on one sec.
I could be wrong, but I think it's in that ballpark. If you look at his average out, and that would be my concern, is you're paying a goaltender $8.5 million.
There's no way. Uh-huh. Yeah, he played 64 games in 21-22, 51 games in 23-24. He played 32 games in 22-23, and I don't know why. I remember that might have been the year they were trying to lower his workload, because he only became like a starting goaltender in like 2020. Prior to that, what's his name? Markstrom,
right.
Yeah, when they traded him to Calgary. So, yeah. No, his workload's been fairly consistent. I'm using that word with quotations because obviously with the shortened seasons and things like that, it's a bit tough.
But. Yeah, I mean, the perspective is a bit skewed. I just worry that that's a lot to pay your alleged number one when he hasn't necessarily been that consistently.
That's a fair point. I mean, I'm not gonna push that away. Like, obviously, yeah. Obviously any team would have a similar concern about their goaltending tandem and being that costly. But I think I'm just trying to stay more optimistic about it,
I hope I'm completely wrong and yeah. He plays 65 games, 100%. Has a 198 save percentage. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah. I hope that's the case.
Yeah, totally. That being said, so again, another leader in the room is coming back. Somebody who has said literally in interviews, like recently after he signed, he's like, I want to be here for 20 years. Like, I love playing for this team and I don't want to go anywhere else. The guy's from San Diego. So for me, like, that's cool to hear. And then Connor Garland is another one, signed 6 years, $6 million. I'm very happy with that deal. It's only, like $1 million and something change raise for him, so I'm perfectly happy with that. He's a glue guy on the team, right? Like,
yeah, he seems to have been that ever since that he got traded there. He's just been,
yeah. And honestly, like, he's another guy who plays bigger than he is, because he's only like 5'8".
Yep, he's and a pest, right?
Pain, yeah, ass. Yeah, yeah, and he's great. Yeah, absolutely. And then of course Brock Besser, who nobody thought was coming back.
Yeah, nobody thought that. Literally, at all.
Including you.
Yeah, including me. I was like, oh, that's too bad. You know, I'm sad that he's gone. I love the guy. He's one of my favorite players. Yeah,
he's already looking at houses in Minnesota.
Charlie got this. I took Charlie to Vancouver a couple weeks back, and he got this. Like, we went to the Canucks team store, and he got this this chain with Brock Besser's face on it. It's like one of those big chain things. And he was really sad thinking that Brock Besser wasn't going to be back with the team. When he found out that he re-signed with the team, he called me because I was at work at the time. He called me and he's like, "Daddy, he's coming back. I'm so excited." Aww. So it's really cool to sort of get that experience with him and like see how much he actually loves hockey and stuff. So, yeah, so that is the Canucks signings. We've only have a few more minutes, so let's get through everybody else. Any significant signings that you can point out?
Yeah, so Logan Steinkoven, obviously, he was traded for in the Rantanen deal, signed an 8-year contract, $6 million per year
with Carolina.
Jake Allen, who's going to make himself a career being a backup, signed five years at $1.8 million a year.
That sounded bitter a little bit.
It's crazy that
I agree
that he signed that. Corey Perry signed with LA, so he's siding with the team that he always beats with, the Oilers, so that's interesting.
The joke we always had was, congratulations, LA, you're going to make the Stanley Cup final and then lose in game seven.
Vladislav Gavrikov got a big raise. He got $7 million a year for 7 years with the Rangers. That's, to me, crazy in regards to his increase. Michael Pezzetta signed with the Leafs. That was our first, besides Matthew Nyes re-signing his contract.
I announced that to everybody, I remember Brandon's response was, who?
I'm very aware of who Pezzetta is, but I mean, if that's their big fish right now, they got work to do. But it's, I mean, it sounds like more is coming via trade is what they're trying to do.
You know, I think that is the one thing I think fans forget to think about here is like, at least my team's not overspending in free agency. And that's what everybody does, right?
For a change.
Yeah.
Because they normally do. So
I want to emphasize just one thing with Brock Besser's contract, too, is that it's a 7-year, $7.25 million contract.
He was expecting an 8 per year.
Yeah. There was, and apparently there was a lot of teams, up to 10 teams, that were interested in on him, on his services. So for him to circle back and say, I want to go back to Vancouver,
it says something. It's so interesting that everybody, realistically, nobody has any idea what's going on except the player, right? Because everybody was saying that he's going to leave, and everybody was saying he's going to get X amount of dollars. That was a lot more than 7.25. And he goes, no, I'm signing here. I love it here. And this is what I'd like to make.
And if you think about it, it's about the term. He wanted $50 million. He got $50 million based on the fact that it was a 7-year contract. Yep. Originally, the reason why he never signed with Vancouver before was because they wanted a shorter term with him.
Yeah.
So as a fan, I'm happy that they've got the guy that they wanted. I'm happy that Brock is still a Canuck. He'll probably retire a Canuck, which I'm excited about. But you know, there is going to be a couple of years there where I think he might not be worth the contract. You know, but that's just the way it is sometimes when it comes down to it.
Who won free agency? Just like they win everything else, boys. That damn Jets. These Florida Panthers, man. I don't know how they do it. I really don't. Maybe they sign these contracts and then just buy them all a yacht outside of the rink or what. But
just quickly, let's talk about a notable one, and I think that would be Ekblad, right? When it comes down to it.
Big one.
$6 million?
$6.1 million
for 8 years?
8 years.
8 years.
Good. And if Bouchard got 10.5, Ekblad should make more than that.
And here's the thing, like this is the argument I had when it comes down to it. Like, why aren't these players playing for, like, the Oilers, for example? Why aren't they taking a discount to play with the Oilers? Like, really? If you want it that bad, go and get it. Like, it's one thing for the team to try to go and get it, but it's another for the player to say, I'm willing to put money on the table so that I can win a championship.
It's a prime example of those players and those teams do exist.
Yeah.
There is a consensus. I mean, Brad Marchand, he could have got a boatload. I mean, he still got paid pretty well, but that's another player. And then, of course, Sam Bennett re-signing as well. Just, there was no way anybody expected all of those players to re-sign, never mind just even one of them.
Yeah.
With the cap situation they were in and the ability to make a hell of a lot more money somewhere else.
They got all three players for just under $20 million per year.
Yeah.
That's Mitch Marner and William Nylander.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Yeah. Like, imagine. I mean, I don't know how thrilled Leaf fans were with Tavares taking a deal.
That's great too. Absolutely. Yeah. That was below expected as well. Yeah. So,
Stevie Lorenz coming back too on a 3-year deal was nice. I liked how he played last year.
I don't know. I'm not a Lorenz fan necessarily, other than the fact that he's passionate about playing there. I didn't think that he did enough, and I thought that they.
I think that's where I think too. Like, the other part of it is, give him some time to to learn the structure under who's your coach?
Berube.
Thank you. I keep wanting to say Boudreau. Under Berube, I mean, I know he had all season last year, but it also depends on who he's playing
with.
Well,
he did fine in his role. I just think, Paul, the reason I'm not as excited about it is I figured they were going to change the direction a little bit more.
Yeah.
Where he's not as physical as I thought he was going to be. And I think that's what they're looking for, especially on the fourth line. So I was a little surprised by the signing.
Yeah.
I don't have that much of an issue with it. I just didn't expect it.
Gentlemen, I think we are out of time,
wow.
Unfortunately.
Just like that.
And I, you know, we argued about if we had enough stuff to talk about. We always have enough stuff to talk about when it comes to hockey. But I want to thank everybody for watching. And if you guys have any comments or anything like that, please reach out to us on our social media. We are available at The Puck and Pod. Once again, for The Puck and Pod, my name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm Paul.
We'll see you guys in the next one.